You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Today we're reading from Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord.
Mateo 26:36-46. Luego fue Jesús con sus discípulos a un lugar llamado Getsemaní y dijo, "Siéntense aquí mientras voy más allá a orar." Se llevó a Pedro y a los dos hijos de Zebedeo y comenzó a sentirse triste y angustiado. "Esta es la angustia que me invade, que me siento morir", dijo. "Quédense aquí y manténganse despiertos conmigo." Yendo un poco más allá, se postró rostro en tierra y oró. "Padre mío, si es posible, no me hagas beber este trago amargo, pero no sea lo que yo quiero, sino lo que tú quieres." Luego volvió a donde estaban sus discípulos y los encontró dormidos. "¿No pudieron mantenerse despiertos conmigo ni una hora?", dijo a Pedro. "Permanezcan despiertos y oren para que no caigan en tentación. El espíritu está dispuesto, pero el cuerpo es débil." Por segunda vez se retiró y oró. "Padre mío, si no es posible evitar que yo beba este trago amargo, hágase tu voluntad." Cuando volvió otra vez los encontró dormidos porque se les cerraban los ojos de sueño. Así que los dejó y se retiró a orar por tercera vez, diciendo lo mismo. Volvió de nuevo a los discípulos y dijo, "¿Siguen durmiendo y descansando? Miren, se acerca la hora. El Hijo del Hombre va a ser entregado en manos de pecadores. Levántense, vámonos, ahí viene el que me traiciona." Es la palabra de Dios.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Okay. Don't worry, this time I won't preach about the end times. Okay, so please open your Bibles in Matthew 26. Chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. We're going to go through the passage we just read. And the title for this sermon is Accepting God's Will, Even If It Hurts. Accepting God's Will, Even If It Hurts. But first, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here. And thank you, Lord, for your word that we have read and that we are going to study right now. And please, Lord, open our eyes, open our minds, that your Holy Spirit can lead us and can make us understand what you want to teach us in this morning. And please, Lord, help us to discern your message for us this morning and to apply your word in our life. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What would your prayer be like if you knew that in a few hours something very bad is going to happen to you? What would you ask God in prayer if you knew that some tragedy was going to happen to you and that it would change your life forever? Worse still, how would you pray if you knew that you are going to die today and that you are in the last hours of your life in this earth? Answering these questions is not easy, and just thinking about something like this makes us feel anxious and troubled. As human beings, we don't like the idea of having to suffer, of experiencing pain, let alone having to die. However, suffering, pain, and death are as normal and real as life itself. The simple fact of being alive means that eventually, sooner or later, we will suffer. We will experience pain, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual pain. And at the end of it all, we will die. As Job chapter 5, verse 7 says, "But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." To our surprise and amazement, our suffering in the world, in this world, does not escape God's will and sovereign control. As children of God, our suffering is not meaningless. It has a purpose for our good. Although we have a hard time digesting this idea, many times God's will is that we suffer, and He expects us to be willing to accept God's will, even if it hurts us. And that's the truth I want to share with you in this morning, and the truth I want us to understand today, that we must be willing to accept God's will, even if it's painful. We must be willing to accept God's will, even if it hurts. We have reached a climatic point in Matthew's gospel and in the life of Jesus. After a three-year ministry, where Jesus presented himself to Israel as the promised Messiah who had brought the kingdom of God to earth, and after having confirmed his identity through miracles and his teachings, we see that the rejection on the part of the religious leaders of the nation was increasingly evident and open. Jesus had announced to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem to be killed at the hands of sinners. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, 17, and 20. Jesus had come into the world to fulfill his Father's will, which involved his death on the cross of Calvary. Up to this point, the cross was always seen as something future. However, in this passage, Jesus is a few hours away from being crucified and dying. Jesus is in the last hours of his life. He knows the things that are going to happen to him, and he feels the horrors of the death of the cross. However, we see in this passage that Jesus accepted and submitted to God's will, even though fulfilling it involved pain, suffering, and death. Now we need to ask ourselves, how did Jesus accept God's will in this passage? There are at least two ways he did it. First, by pouring out his soul in prayer to the Father, and second, by being willing to receive God's will, even though it involved embracing pain, suffering, and death. Let's look at both points separately. First, we must accept God's will by pouring out our soul in prayer to the Father. Jesus went with his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane, which means oil press. Apparently, this was a place Jesus used to frequent with his disciples to have some alone time away from the crowds. It was a well-known place since Judas Iscariot knew where to find Jesus to deliver to the authorities. Jesus went to this quiet place to have a time of intimacy in prayer with his Father, knowing that his hour had come, and that in a few hours he would be delivered into the hands of sinners to die in the horrendous death of the cross. Jesus told 8 of his disciples to stay there while he took 3 of them, Peter, James, and John, to accompany him and give him support in prayer. Verse 37 tells us that Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus began to feel a deep pain and restlessness that was produced by a pain or trial from which it was impossible for him to escape. This can be clearly seen in the words that Jesus pronounces in verse 38. My soul is very sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Jesus felt a deep sadness, so much that he felt that he was going to die. These words can cause us confusion. Why would Jesus be so sad? Wasn't he God? Can God feel the kind of sadness we see Jesus having here? Certainly, Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man. And as a man, Jesus experienced all the things that we experience: joy, sadness, pain, temptation, trial, hunger, etc. Jesus, in his human nature, felt the natural despair and anxiety that someone would feel knowing that he's going to suffer a slow, bloody, and painful death. But we must not lose sight of something much more important here. Christ's suffering here are not only explained because he was a man, but also because he is God. As God, Jesus was holy, is holy, just, and clean. He had never had any relationship or contact with sin. Sin was deeply unpleasant for him, and worse, the thought of having to experience separation from God caused him deep spiritual sadness. It is for this reason that Jesus prays in verse 39, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus approaches God in prayer, calling him my Father. He approached with the confidence that he was speaking to his Father. In his hour of greatest sadness and despair, Jesus went to pray to the Father. And the same is true for us. When we are in a moment of deep anguish and despair, let us pray to our Father who listens to us and knows our situation. Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, made a specific request. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. However, Jesus also asked, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, what did Jesus mean by this cup? What was the cup he wanted to avoid? Was it his death on a cross? The cup that Jesus asked the Father to pass from him cannot refer to his death, because the death of the cross was planned by the three persons of the Trinity before the creation of the world, as we see in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. So what does this cup refer to? In the Old Testament, the cup is used as an image or metaphor for God's wrath, for the wrath of God. For example, in Psalm 75, 8 says, For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. And Jeremiah 25, 15 says, Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, Take from my hand this cup of wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. Throughout the history of the church, there were many believers who died as martyrs for their faith. One of them was Polycarp of Smyrna. It is said that when he was imprisoned to be killed for his faith, His executioners begged him to have mercy on himself, since he was 86 years old, and begged him to deny Christ to live. To which Polycarp replied, "I have served my Lord Jesus Christ for 86 years, and he has never caused me any harm. How can I deny my King, who has until now kept me from all evil, and has also been faithful to redeem me?" When we look at testimonies like these and compare it to the suffering Jesus was experiencing in Gethsemane, we wonder, what is the difference? Why did other Christians throughout history bravely give themselves to dying horrendous death for their faith, and Jesus seemed here to die of fear at the thought of death on the cross? The big difference is that Jesus was not only going to face a horrendous death, but he was going to receive the full weight of God's wrath for our sins. The cup Jesus had to drink was God's wrath for our sins. Jesus, who had never sinned and could never sin, was to take upon himself the sin of all mankind and receive rejection and punishment from his own Father. For Jesus, death on the cross meant temporary separation from God for our sins and suffering the punishment of God's wrath for our sins. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus bore a million hells on the cross to pay the infinite debt we owed before God for our sins. That is why Jesus prayed that if it were possible, that cup would pass from him. However, even though Jesus prayed to the Father to pass that cup from him, we see that he prayed not for his will to be done, but God's will. Verse 39 says, "Not as I will, but as you will." Jesus here gives us the example of how we should pray in times of despair and trial. When we pray, we can tell God how we feel, and we can make a specific request to him, just as Jesus asked him to pass that cup from him if possible. So too, you can pray to God, asking him to remove from you the difficult test or situation you might be going through. But, like Jesus, you must ask that God's will be done. Even if we cannot understand God's will, even if it is painful to accept God's will, we must be willing for God to carry out his will, because God's will is best for our lives, and it is the surest place we can be. After Jesus prayed for the first time, he returned to his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And what do you think? The disciples, who should have been praying and supporting Jesus in his moment of greatest crisis, were asleep. Jesus turns directly to Peter and says, verse 40, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Although the rebuke was directed at the three disciples who were with him, Jesus spoke directly to Peter. Why? Let us remember that it was Peter who said in verse 35 of this chapter the following, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Peter promised Jesus fidelity and loyalty unto death, encouraging the rest of the disciples to say the same. But when he had to show fidelity to Jesus in his moment of greatest crisis, by praying with him and staying awake, he fell asleep. This makes us see how we are many times. In a moment of emotion, we may promise the Lord to do great things for him. But when it comes to being faithful in the small things, such as prayer, vigilance, etc., we neglect ourselves. That is why Jesus warned Peter, James, and John in verse 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. In this verse, we find a truth that is crucial to our Christian lives. Vigilance and alertness and prayer are vital to standing firm in the face of temptations. The opposite is also true. Leisure and laziness are detrimental to our spiritual life and make us vulnerable to temptation. Peter and the rest of the disciples were not considering the degree of danger to which they were exposed. In a few hours, they would be tested, and we see that by not praying and being alert, they failed. All would abandon the Lord and break their promise to be faithful to the end. This is why this warning is as urgent for us as it was for these disciples. Spiritual lethargy and laziness are enemies of a spirit of personal holiness. If we want to stand firm in the face of temptations and overcome it when it comes, we must watch and pray constantly. Up to this point, we have seen that Jesus poured out his soul in prayer to the Father, making a specific request by submitting to God's will. The second principle we learn here is that we must be willing to receive God's will, even if it involves suffering, pain, and death. We must be willing to receive God's will, even if it involves suffering, pain, and death. After Jesus had prayed a first time, he returned a second time to pray. Yet we see that his prayer was slightly different. Verse 42 says, "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Did you notice it? In the first prayer, Jesus asked his Father that if it were possible to pass that cup from him. But in this second prayer, we see Jesus receiving God's will, which was to drink the cup, because he says, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus went from petition to acceptance. He was no longer asking for that cup to pass from him, but he was accepting it. Jesus returned to his disciples and found them asleep as the first time. Verse 43 says that the reason they were asleep is because their eyes were heavy with sleep. Luke's gospel tells us that the reason they were sleeping was because of sadness in Luke 22:45. The truth is that they did not accompany Jesus in his moment of greatest sadness and pain. Jesus prayed again a third time, repeating the same words as the second sentence, as the second prayer. "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Verse 44. Once again, we see Jesus accepting God's will, which was to take the cup of God's wrath for our sins. Jesus assumed God's will, even though for him that meant suffering, pain, and death. We see this clearly in John chapter 18, when Judas came with those who were to imprison Jesus, and Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, which Jesus said to Peter in verse 11, John 18:11, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Jesus accepted God's will, even though it meant for him having to drink completely the cup of God's wrath for our sins. And I ask you this morning, dear brother or sister, are you willing to accept God's will in your life, even if it means suffering, pain, and death? Are you willing to accept God's will if it involves an incurable disease? Are you willing to accept God's will if it involves a slow and painful death? Are you willing to accept God's will, even if it means rejection and hatred from those you love most? Sometimes God's will for us is to suffer. But suffering, when it is God's will, has a purpose that is for our good. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 16 and 19, say, "Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Likewise, James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." When God sends us a trial, He always has a purpose for our good. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." We see this truth in the very suffering of Christ. Jesus suffered for a purpose. In Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall be righteous, shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Likewise, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 10 says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Jesus suffered unto death according to God's will for the purpose of saving us from our sins. His suffering and death were not in vain. And likewise, your sufferings according to God's will are not in vain. They have a purpose. And although you cannot understand it or see it right now, someday you will be able to understand it. Finally, verse 45 and 46 conclude by saying, "Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" These words of Jesus show Jesus' acceptance of God's will, which was that he should die on the cross, bearing the guilt of our sins and God's wrath to save us. To conclude, I would like to leave you with some applications. For those of us who are saved, in this passage we learn that Jesus submitted to the Father's will for our salvation. He was faithful unto death, though his disciples were not. Jesus drank the bitter cup of God's wrath so that we wouldn't have to drink that cup. We also learn that we must be alert and in constant prayer so that we do not give in to temptation. Every day we face a series of temptations, and the only way to resist them is to watch and pray. There is no other method more effective than constant vigilance and persevering in prayer. We also learn that our suffering has a purpose, and that many times it is God's will that we suffer. We must imitate Jesus' example of accepting God's will, even if it means suffering, pain, and death. As 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Finally, if there is anyone here who has not yet repented of their sins and believed in Christ for salvation, Let me tell you that if you do not repent and believe in Jesus, that cup of God's wrath will have to be drunk by you when you face God's judgment. One day, we will all stand before God's judgment, and those found guilty will be cast into the lake of fire. But the good news is that Christ drank the cup of God's wrath on the cross of Calvary, so you don't have to drink it. He died on the cross, taking your place and receiving the punishment you deserve, so that today you can enjoy forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. Just repent of your sins and trust Christ as your only Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this time we could spend in your word. And thank you because Jesus accepted your will and he died on our place to save us. And thank you because he rose again on the third day and he is at the right hand of you. Let us imitate his example and teach us to accept your will, whatever it be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.